refurbishing services of aluminum sign blanks and extrusions. This contract provides an environmentally friendly solution for the removal of existing laminates from our sign blanks and extrusions. While there was no BEP goal in this procurement, the prime vendor is BEP certified and is also registered in the state's small business set-aside program. Award is recommended to Topper Jetting Service Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $408,000 for the three-year initial term. The sixth item is an award of a total invitation for bid to purchase iPass gift card printing and packaging services. This contract provides a source for printing and packaging services of single-use iPass gift cards, which the TOLE offers to customers via the iPass retail program. These gift cards provide another option for our customers to add funds to their iPass accounts. The 9% BEP goal in this procurement is being fully met by the prime vendor, which is BEP certified and is also registered in the state's small business set-aside program. Award is recommended to Motor Graphics, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $120,000 for the five-year initial term. And the seventh and final item is award of a TOLE invitation for bid to purchase ASCO switches and parts. This contract provides a source for purchases for purchase of original equipment manufacturer, OEM, automatic switch company, switches, and parts on an as-needed basis. Some frequently purchased parts include coil kits, contact kits, relay accessories, and remote control switches. The prime vendor is also registered in the state small business set-aside program. Award is recommended to Intex Lighting, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $122,077.70 for the two-year initial term. Any questions?
Yeah, pass gift card printing. How long have we been doing this? How long have we been offering this services?
Number of years. I'm not too sure on the exact figure, but
50,000 people. 50,000 cards are ordered annually.
Quarterly. Yeah, so it just gives motorists or customers another option for putting money on their iPass account if they don't want to use a credit card. Yeah. So they buy these cards in $20 increments, and then they put the funds onto their iPass account.
This is a way that a lot of our customers who are cash customers end up handling their iPass reloads.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
In addition to, I'm sure, all of the stocking stuffers than these cards, because they'd be a very popular gift item, and we encourage everyone to go out and purchase one.
Well said.
Yes, thank you. Good opportunity to have.
Okay, thank you, John. Are there any questions on any of these items? Any objections to taking on the procurement items 1 through 7? Okay, there being none, I hear a motion to approve. Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes and moves to the full consent board agenda. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Engineering? Paul?
Good morning, directors. Engineering's got 12 items this morning. This is a slight holiday from construction contract awards. We try to advertise our contracts, you know, late in the season, late in the year, to set up 2015, so you can see a lot of contracts in the coming months, but we don't have any construction awards this month. The first item is a supplement for additional design service in an amount not to exceed $3,091,000 under contract 4016. That's with Crawford Murphy Tilley. They're one of six designers we have working on the 25-mile section on the east end of I-90. They're doing the piece between the Illinois Route 53 and Oakton. We negotiated this four-year contract back in 2012. We're seeking some additional services from the designer that represent an increased level of effort with respect to our negotiated amounts that we had when we first started the job. And two primary components that I think exemplify the need for this are we're asking this designer to prepare a lot more retaining wall design. So in the initial contract, we assumed we were going to do 22,470 linear feet of retaining walls along that section, and we're actually asking them to do 38,877. So that's a 73% increase in the amount of structural engineering they need to do for these retaining walls. But these retaining walls are going to help us minimize impacts with the adjacent properties. We won't need additional right-of-way. It's also going to help us minimize some impacts to the utilities. On the I-90 corridor, where you have NICOR running parallel to us the whole length, we have the water main, Nizamjawa. So some of these things were anticipated, we just didn't account for the full value. It's going to also help us keep the job on schedule. Some of the mainline bridges, we're asking them now to upgrade the design from rehab to full reconstruction. The full reconstruction is going to allow us to, of course, minimize our long-term maintenance costs because we're going to have a fully rebuilt structure. It's also going to keep all the components of the structure, both the piers and columns underneath the bridge and the beams and the deck all in the same replacement cycle, which helps us so we minimize disturbances to the customers. So we're asking them to do that. That's a significant effort. They also had to modify some of their designs for details that got fully developed and are based on our current work with the water main as in Joe. So they're responding. There could be this amount, their total amount, is moving from 6.1 to 7.3% of the total construction effort that they're supporting. When we budget the design work, we typically start at around 8%. It could fall anywhere between 6% and 10%. They're still on the low end of the scale, and all the work they've done for us so far, because they have produced some contracts for us already, has been on time and has been performed well. So, and they're continuing to meet and exceed their DBE commitments. So we're recommending that we move forward with this. As I mentioned, I have six designers all working on that 25-mile section. There could be another one that may require a supplement out of those six, but those details aren't developed yet, but I could be bringing that in the future. All the rest seem to be handling it within their original amounts, or our assumptions were a lot better at the beginning.
When you talk about total replacements on the bridges that I gather were not anticipated in the initial design, does that mean when we actually get the construction costs, it's going to be dramatically different from what we had originally thought?
We think we can, we're still operating within the overall budget. When in the original scope, I believe, assumed full redecking and new beams, and we had to widen the substructures underneath to accommodate the wider roadway. So really all we're adding on is the existing substructure, which we don't feel is going to drive us over budget or make it dramatically different.
Good question. It's good to see the diversity is almost close to 30% on this project, too. Okay. Any other questions?
Okay. So the next two items address contract renewals for professional engineering services. One is for the Tollways General Engineering Consultant, that's AECOM right now, and the other one is for our traffic engineer, CDM Smith. Both are foundational contracts for the Tollway in the engineering department. They provide trust indenture services, so they inspect our system, and then they also do certifications when we go out for bonding and prepare annual reports for us. And they also serve as our technical experts, so they do some technical services. They monitor our standards and specs. They serve as our primary traffic expert. So item two is, this is the last one-year contract renewal that we're allowed under this contract, 9973. It's in the amount of $17,053,000 with AECOM. As I mentioned, it's for performing general engineering consultant services. So this is going to be for their 2015 services. So we're bringing this to the board pretty early this year. It's not going to be utilized until they actually get into 2015. Their initial contract term was a five-year term, and it started out with a three-year initial negotiated amount, and we have 2 one-year renewals allowed. As I mentioned, we're in the last one-year renewal. We will be going out early in 2015 to start the recompete or recompetition for this work, so we'll be advertising it.
And the firm that does this work for us can't then do any other work, the prime contractor.
That's correct.
So as we recompete, you know, this is one that, again, we don't often get a lot of competition around, so we're going to try to do some, you know, additional outreach. They've done a good job for us, but to see, you know, if there are other firms interested in doing this work. Some, you know, don't end up wanting to compete for whatever reason, perhaps because they can't then do other work for the tollway, but...
Is that just for the prime, or is that the subconsultants too?
No, the prime.
Just the prime.
Only the prime. Those types of restrictions aren't on the subs, because you would never then get any subs.
And they had many, many subs. They had at least 17 subs, I believe, on this. So they are pulling in a lot of additional help from other smaller firms. Yeah, and that, as Christie mentioned, that's our goal. We want to get, you know, some attention paid to this new advertisement, so we have a selection and we have competition for it. I did bring a supplement to the board back in June for the 2014 services. So when I look at the supplement plus the amount, well, when I look at the amount of work they're doing for 2014, it's the same dollar value for 2015. So we know now what the impact of Move Illinois is. When we first brought them on, it was before Move Illinois was even approved. So these renewals are accounting for the increased level of effort with Move Illinois. They have to do a lot more plan reviews than we would have ever anticipated. They also do critical construction documentation audits for us, so we have a lot more construction contracts going on right now. They've been performing well, and they are satisfying their DB commitment also.
Well, could we talk about that for a second? What explains the number of no achievement today people in this list? If they're in the last year, and if they do basically the same thing every year.
Oh, I see, on the diversity program detail box. I'll have to find out the exact reason for that. It could be, so as our general consultant, we asked them to have the ability to perform these services for us in case we need them.
So you may not have asked.
We might not have asked
for
those.
That these subs
correct.
Can provide.
Correct.
Well, then it might be helpful at some point to recalibrate this to figure out, although they had a certain percentage that they intended to achieve, what have they actually achieved?
Well, that's what's reflected on the first page. So
okay.
When you see the diversity program committed and earned to date,
okay,
this is what's reflected here. So, you know, they're to hit the overall goal.
Okay. I see.
So that's how
they may be overutilizing or...
They're utilizing some specialty services
more
than others. So, but we'll watch it closely, and I think everybody's will certainly communicate that the board was very interested in making sure they reached their commitment in the diversity.
Right. And if there's, at the end of the day, someone that hasn't been used on this plan, that we also have on record exactly why, that there's a reasonable explanation.
Okay.
For that.
Good.
Like just because we didn't like them or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should I go on? Item 3 is very similar to item 2, only now we're talking about the traffic engineering services contract. That's 9974, and we're asking for an amount of $4,135,701 for CDM Smith. That's for the 2015 services. So this is going to extend their contract completion date through December 31st, 2015. Similar to the general engineering consultant contract, it started out with a three-year initial term and 2 one-year contract renewals. This will be the last allowable renewal under this contract, so it will be going out for a recompetition, just like the general engineering consultant one. And this renewal amount for 2015 is within 3% of the 2014 services that they provided to us, and they intend to fully commit to meet the DB goal that they have.
Same goes for this prime, like ACOM, they won't be able to do any other work?
That's correct.
Okay.
There's three contracts like that. Okay. The general engineering consultant contract, the traffic engineer, and our program management office, which is HMTV.
So let's have as a goal, though, that at the board meeting, we'll be able to fill in the percentage of committed goal on all of these, because it looks like we're both on the first one and this one. And I apologize that I missed it. We just need to make sure the same information that was available for the AECOM contract is available for these. We can see from
yes.
the overall that obviously we've done the work, that
right.
they're meeting the
right.
goal.
But
so
you want to, yeah, we can
yeah.
get that information.
Yeah, I think just to make sure that it's standard.
Okay. So Item four is an extra work order on a construction contract. The amount is $246,157.10. It's on contract 4126, and this is with William Charles. And we're asking them to construct a landscaped berm along the south side of the Jane Adams Memorial Tollway that it's going to serve as a buffer for residents that are adjacent to that section. So during the design phase, we, just like we do on all sections of the roadway, we do a noise evaluation. And the sound levels here would qualify for noise abatement. However, they didn't meet the economic standard. So in other words, it was not cost effective for us to build a full noise wall at this location. But we continue to work with these residents, and they're represented by Hampshire Township. And I believe we have an intergovernmental agreement that is going to formalize this relationship, and you'll hear about that during the presentation of the legal items. But so noting that our current construction was also going to remove all the trees and everything within our right-of-way that currently serves as the buffer, we developed a mutually beneficial solution that includes building a berm, and we're going to put a site screen on top of this berm, and this berm is actually going to be built partially on our property and partially on the village's property. So this solution is a lot more cost effective and reasonable. As I mentioned, we do have an intergovernmental agreement with Hampshire Township, so they're going to allow us to enter onto the property and have this temporary easement to build the berm. So that's going to come at no cost, and they're going to maintain this wall for us moving forward.
What's the length and height of this berm?
I'm going to have to get that detail. I don't know the exact length and height.
But they're responsible for the landscape upkeep and maintenance of that berm, though.
Yep.
Going forward, that's what the IGA is going to be for. Okay.
And what's the term you use for the what's on the top of the berm?
It's a site screen. It's a fence, but you know, it'll provide some visual shielding from the roadway.
And so it's different from a noise wall, right?
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about why it's different?
So the noise wall, there is some and Rocco's here. And he can jump in, but the noise.
You received some applause earlier.
That's why it came up. They were clapping for
him. Well,
go ahead, Ron.
It was about why the berm is opposed to noise wall. Is that it?
No, not a berm. We're talking about this. Well, you could certainly talk about that,
site
but the site screen and why it's different than a noise wall.
Noise reduction. Site screen is just designed to provide a site screen and not necessarily get a full noise reduction. On a noise wall is what we always shoot for. It's an 8 to 10 decibel reduction, which is pretty significant. Where a site screen, it does the same thing, but at a lower level of intensity.
It may be a very high, it may look like a very high wood fence, right?
Yeah.
Versus something that's a little thicker, more insulated.
So recognizing that they were close to the road and we're taking out all their existing buffer and screening from the roadway, we felt like this was a good mutually beneficial solution. And the details on the berm are, it's 1,325 feet in length, and it varies from 10 to 15 feet high.
Thanks.
And you're going to plant beautiful prairie on both sides.
I'm sure we will. Something low maintenance, I hope, on our side. So, item five is a change order, extra work order, in the amount of $303,160.40. This is on contract 5680, and this is going to allow the contractor, FH Passion, SN Nielsen Associates, to provide 75 feet of additional retaining wall and install a conduit that's going to connect to one of our future smart corridor equipment shelters that we're planning along the Jane Adams Memorial Tollway. So the full details of the smart corridor feature were under development, so we didn't include those in the original contract, and instead we made some accommodations so that it could be added later. So we had to have some temporary earth retaining system in this area, but since we've now finalized the details for the shelter, we can eliminate these temporary measures and just have the contractor build the 75-foot extension of the permanent retaining wall. The contractor is in progress right now, and they are going to make a good faith effort to meet their DB goal. They're still early in the job, so the DB goal percentage earned is definitely going to be going up. And any questions. Okay. Item six, this is a request for partial release of retainage and a reduction in retainage to $6,000. It's on contract 4616, also with FH Passion, SM Nielsen and Associates. They have some minor work remaining, painting and landscaping, and they are committing to meet the DD goal, and actually right now they're tracking at like 18.5%, so I think they're going to be right on target.
This is item six?
Item six, yes.
So that's an update from what we have here in our materials?
Well, it says 3%.
Well, earned to date, I have 13.
Oh, 13.4, right. So we don't like putting the numbers in there until we have the official documents, the final documents, the 2115 forms. So we do track their progress, though, with the pay estimates as they're doing the work. So I'm reporting the unofficial earned to date. So we use that to give us an indication of whether we think they're actually going to hit this goal. So the remaining items that I have are all for final releases of retainage, and item seven is one in the amount of $479,808. It's on construction contract 4075, an award to Plody Construction. The contract was completed under budget, and the DD commitment is pending final documentation. I can tell you it's at 26% unofficially, so they're definitely going to be exceeding the goal, I believe. Item 8 is a final release of retainage in the amount of $25,491.49 on construction contract 4095 with Mead. This contract is also completed under budget, and they're expected to exceed their DD goal. Item 9, final release of retainage in the amount of $31,070 on construction contract 4131. This is with Illinois Constructors Corporation. Completed under budget. There was a DB shortfall, which the diversity has approved and evaluated, and it had to do with the elimination of some of the work that we plan to do on this contract. And it was actually the painting. They were painting these steel beams. It turned out that we got all the beams, all the bridges painted by one contractor, so it got taken out of this individual contract.
The one contractor was not a DBE,
I don't know. I would have to check on that. They may have been. Item 10 is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $31,416.63. It's on construction 5621. That was with Mott Excavating. They're also expected to finish this job within budget. It is finished within budget. There was a DB shortfall on this, which was also reviewed by diversity and approved, and it had to do with us not needing as much seating supplies. So this, I believe, was a pretty lengthy contract. Went from April 2011 through contract completion date of June 2015. So there was this initial landscaping installation, and then it had a maintenance period. So I guess they did not need as much material to maintain the established plants. And then item 11 is a final release in the amount of $66,325.33 on contract 5666 with FH Passion, SM Nielsen. That's completing under budget, and the DB commitment has been met.
That's our projection, or we confirmed it? So that's the same, as you were explaining before, it's our projection right now that it's been met, but we've always committed that we'll come back to the board and give them the final.
That's correct. And we are reporting anyone we bring to the board that doesn't have the DB achieved in it, we report in our quarterly program reports to the board, and it is in there. And, but this one right now in Catapult, we show 21.1%, and we think it's going to be exceeding the goal of 21%. Or 20%, sorry.
Can you just explain the difference in the way you present these physically, where sometimes you do tell us the achieved level, and sometimes you just give us the first detail?
So that's all a reflection of us obtaining the final 2115 forms from the subcontractors. So when we did talk about this earlier with the board, I believe, where we wanted to de-link the process of getting all the final paperwork so that it didn't hold up us releasing these monies, because the work has been completed and accepted by the tollway. We believe everything is fine. Otherwise, we wouldn't be recommending to the board to release it. And these monies are actually going to some of these subcontractors. And they certify that they receive these payments and they give it to us. So we thought it would be more expeditious to return the monies to the contractors so they could pay all their subcontractors. And then we will get continue to get all the final documents in order before we close the job out officially and completely. And we will report back to the board all the full details as they come in.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the putting all the bridges using one contractor.
Right, so that is, I think that's an important detail. And if that's what they did, then we should know if they used a non-DBE versus using the DBE. That doesn't mean they wouldn't be sanctioned for this activity, right, if it was found that it was inappropriate.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that that contract wouldn't have a DBE goal on it also, because all of them have DBE goals on them.
I was also curious about the process. I'm thinking these DBEs, by definition, are typically small firms. They're probably counting on getting this business. When in the process do you actually, or do we not have any control over where, when a contractor says to a subcontractor, by the way, you're not going to get this business anymore? Because I assume they're reserving some of their workforce and they're scheduling their work, anticipating something they're going to have, for them, probably a big job.
So at the beginning of the job, the contractor has to supply us with their DBE utilization plan, which will spell out for each individual sub the amount of work that they expect to have performed under that contract. And then they do provide us with periodic updates as we pay for the work and as the work gets completed. And at the end of the job, they will file an official final earnings amount with us, which will be dependent only on the actual work performed, which is all we ever pay for. So, you know, when they start the job, it's estimated, and then when they finish the job, it's actual documented quantities. And if they make any variance to their original plan, they have to coordinate it with both engineering and the diversity unit, and we have to actually allow them to do it.
And in the process of allowing them to do it, are we mindful of the impact? I just take this example. Are we mindful of the impact that it has on the subcontractors that they've promised the business to?
If the work has been...
I understand that what we're doing is monitoring whether they're meeting their goals, and if they're not meeting their goals, then we can sanction them or we can let them not meet their goals. I guess maybe this is the wrong thing for a board member to be worried about. I guess I'm just concerned that we've made these great efforts to involve DBEs. Then suddenly, it sounds like suddenly maybe it wasn't. What we're basically saying to them is, we don't need your participation on this anymore. And again, the we is, we are the enablers of the primes, right? So maybe we don't have any obligation on this, just concerns.
So where in the
maybe
process,
I'm the only
if
one
it's
that's
tainting,
concerned.
For instance, this example, where in the process do they get approval to do all the painting under a different contract versus splitting it up the way it was?
And that would have to be at the direction of the tollway, so we must have made that decision. And
how is diversity involved in those decisions if there's a DBE impact?
So Gustavo operates independent of me, so if the rationale and the reasoning for them not meeting the goal is not satisfactory to them, and I believe they do consider the impacts on the individual.
Them being Gustavo?
Yes.
The
individual subcontractors, we would be sanctioning them. Or if it was by their decision and not our decision. So I think what typically happens is there's a decreased quantity of work performed. And you see that when I bring you change orders that increase quantities, there's a lot of change orders that actually decrease quantities. And that's the typical reason for why the DB didn't do the full amount of the work. And when that's happening, we're even engaging the contractor to say, we know this is happening, can you try to satisfy the goal through other means? So there is a...
I mean, I understand there's a tension, because we want efficiency, we want to save money on the one hand. On the other hand, I think when I first got on the board, one of the things that was concerning was, at the end of a lot of these big projects, suddenly they didn't need the subs anymore. So the people we had promised the work to wasn't getting them. So I just... I'd like to make sure we've struck the right balance. I'm sure you're trying to do that.
So we understand the waiver process that they have to go through at the end, but I guess the other thing that maybe we need to help the board understand a little bit better, and even me maybe understand a little bit better, is when the decision is made within the contract management or construction management process that we're going to allow all this painting to be done under this contract. How is diversity involved at that point? Right, so maybe that's versus at the end the justifications, but the decision during the contract management period, and is it appropriate, and can we do it in a way that's efficient and doesn't, you know, hold up all of our construction work?
Correct. And I can get you details on that, and I know through our ATP process, our authorization to proceed, which we file on every single increase or decrease, there is a portion on that form dedicated to, you know, what's the impact on EV sub, if any. So, well, I can get you more details on that, and I understand your comments. And as a whole, though, they're of the final releases, you know, four of them were exceeding
and
some were, but
I
you need to worry about the individuals too.
Yeah, I should have prefaced that by saying I think we're doing a great job on diversity, and I don't mean to be critical of it. These numbers are terrific. I was more concerned about the individuals.
The process itself that takes place to make those decisions.
I don't know if I went all the way through. Was I on 11 or?
You were on 12.
On 12. So 12 was the last one. And this was a final release in the amount of $25,517.02 earned construction contract 9138. And that's with McDermott Roof and Insulating Company. And this was a small business set aside. The job's being finished right on target. And you got good work.
Thanks, Paul. We're going to need to defer item two to the full board because we have multiple recusals on that item. Any objection to taking items one and then three through 12 together? Okay, they're being done. Do I have a motion to approve those items?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent board agenda. Thank you, Paul. Okay. Legal has three items.
Thank you, Chair. We'll actually have two, and then two, perhaps some discussion for the board whether we want to discuss three or defer.
Okay.
So the first one is an IGA with Hampshire Township. This is related to the item Paul just introduced, relating to that quarter-mile berm, which I think is the math on 1,300 feet. It was on the south
so
side.
South.
That's what my notes said, so I hope that squares with what Paul introduced to you. This is on the south side of 90 along a development called Hampshire Oaks Estate to create this berm. This IGA will set out the requirements both on the township at the pre-construction phase, which includes somewhat uniquely here the obligation for the township to obtain temporary construction easements from seven homeowners who will be affected during the construction phase. Again, those are just temporary. Once the berms go up, they will be only on tollway and township property. Maintenance for the for these berms after construction will be split between the township and the tollway, depending on the location of the berm in relation to our access control fence along 90. If there's any questions, I'm happy to. I think we've addressed that pretty well with Paul. Item number two is going to be an addendum to an IGA the board entered in March of 2013. This is with the Illinois Community College Board. You may recall, in conjunction with Gustavo's Diversity Department, Tollway has assisted in the establishment of a construction business development center at that time for four Illinois community colleges, Prairie State, South Suburban, Moraine Valley, and Waubonsie Community. This amendment will bring on the College of Lake County, also a member of this community college group, to ride along with the final approximately 2 years through March of 2016 and establish a similar program at CLC. Is that, I think I said that right. So this IGA addendum will allow for the funding during the time period of this IGA. The annual amount, the annual additional amount will be, as indicated in your materials, of $122,648 over the two-year term. And as I think Gustavo would have you point out, this will bring the overall budget under this on an annual basis, under this arrangement, to $701,470. I think we have a misprint there in your summary material, so just to note that for the record. If there's any questions there, I know Gustavo and I will try to tackle them.
The Construction Business Development Center, is that located at each of the junior colleges, or is there just one?
Their office is on each of the community colleges, yes.
Okay, they're there.
The main, the heart of the center is at Prairie, but each of the other colleges has office. Okay.
So we're finding it beneficial and useful?
Incredibly useful. They're very, very strategic partners in that. Good. Really a critical aspect of our outreach and technical assistance services.
No, I like the outreach and incorporating the junior colleges. I think it's a good path. So, any questions about these two IGAs?
As to the third, Chair, so one development since we were with the board last month, the full board, is that the SEIU contract has been ratified by the union, so we are at the phase now where the board may wish to consider as well on behalf of the agency, you know, authorizing going forward. So we have it on the agenda so that we didn't miss publication dates, and we're happy to facilitate discussion, which we would suggest be appropriately set for executive session if this committee is inclined. Otherwise, it may be more appropriate for us to defer this one to the full board next week.
How would you like to proceed? Defer or discuss an executive?
I think if they ratified it, they could do better the full board.
Okay. That's fine. Just want to make sure. Okay, we'll defer item three to the full board. And any objection to taking items one and two under legal together? There being none, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent board agenda. Thank you, Dave. Any unfinished business? Any new business? You don't need executive session today. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We are now adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
See you next week.